Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hi and welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great, bright spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining us. And I want to mention right up front that this show is made possible because of the support of Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. We have in studio Eric Roller, co-founder and current program manager for the Good Futures Program. And Eric, I love that name. How could anybody think anything but good things about Good Futures? And Dennis Del Cid. Is that how you say your name, Dennis? That's what I was making the faces at you. Is that how you say it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Who is a youth in the program. And we are going to learn about Goodwill Industries programs of, you know, Goodwill of Southern Arizona, their Good Futures Program. And I just want to do my own exciting shout out about Goodwill. We are a Goodwill family, and I mean that. We not only donate, which is a part of it, but we shop there. And if you're crazy if you don't go shopping at Goodwill and look for the great finds. And so to me, it's a two-part message from Mrs. Green's heart. Shop there because the money goes to support programs like this. And then donate there because nothing goes in the landfill. It blows me away when I've had Goodwill people on.
I just want to say I don't think I have my entire wardrobe is from Goodwill.
Goodwill, I know. And I complimented. There's another young man here who's listening with us, and I said, "Nice shirt," and he said, "Goodwill." It was like it was scripted. So someday it'll all be on TV. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I'm not all choked up. I think I had a crumb in my throat. So Eric, co-founder, tell us about what Good Futures is and how old is it? And co-founder, I love that. So you get to talk now.
Sure. Well, I'm the co-founder with Beth Hannon Penny. We met about a year ago, and Goodwill wrote the grant and partnered with Pima County One Stop to try to get the grant from the Department of Labor. And about a year ago, I was hired to write the curriculum. So Goodwill was kind of split. The Good Futures program was split in two parts. There was the management side for the recruiting, and then there was the classroom side, which is what I was in charge of. I was the lead teacher. So I spent about a month and a half just locked in an office, basically writing curriculum for the youth that we hire. And then the youth that we actually bring in for our program, they're actually Goodwill employees. Good Futures is for youth 18 to 21, and we help them find work. And the only requirement is that they have had a juvenile background from 14 to 17. And so we bring them in, and there's basically three phases to this program. The first phase is the classroom and the service learning phase, and that's 3 months. So the youth come into the classroom about 15 hours per week, and they learn how to write resumes. They learn how to interview, how to dress, a lot of the soft skills that people take for granted.
But that employers are looking for.
Employers are
clearly
desperately looking for.
And desperately is right.
Some of the things that get youth fired, like not showing up on time or not dressing appropriately. So we work very hard to try to get them to understand the importance of soft skills.
And first impressions.
Impressions.
Really.
How to shake hands, how to, you know, talk, and how not to use slang, because, you know, sometimes they get in habits. So we try to get them out of those habits.
That's right.
So then after that phase, we have a bridge phase, and that's where we match them up with somebody within Goodwill.
So there's really four phases?
There's really four phases.
So tell us about the bridge.
The bridge is really important because when we first started, we only had three phases. We had the classroom time and the service learning, and then we would just put them out in the community with employers. And we were having a really hard time keeping the youth in those positions. They just weren't ready. So we created a bridge program for 1 month between four. And basically what that is we just match them up with people in Goodwill. And so let's say we have a youth who's interested in computers. So we we'll take that youth and match them up with IT
right,
within Goodwill.
Right.
And they'll spend a month working in IT. And then it's sort of like a little bit of a test to see if they're ready. And then we will go out and match them up for like a paid internship with a company. So if you're talking about computers, you know, you're talking about SWS or, you know, maybe an Apple store or something, we'll try to match them up with a computer company.
Love SWS, locally owned.
Yes,
SWS. Always a shout out for Mrs. Green for the locally owned, and they're so service friendly.
Yes, they are. Yes. So we're you know, it's kind of a new thing, but we've been able to keep a lot of the youth involved that way. And then the last phase is where we actually put them in community involvement in some sort of a job that they're interested in. So we have, for example, a youth who's working on the fleet for Tucson Electric Power. We have a youth that was working at University of Arizona's Tucson Village Farm.
Love them too.
So these are all
love
partners
them.
That we have in the community right now. And
so let's press pause for a minute and let's make it all about you, Dennis, and tell us, I figured this all out on my own since you started the program in July. What has been your experience to date? What are you doing and how did they find you, or how did you find Good Futures?
Well, 3 months ago, well, more than 3 months ago, I was going through, you know, the trouble. I was a troubled youth. And I was looking for work, but I could never find any, because who wants to employ a troubled youth? But then my mother...
Fortunately, lots of people.
Yeah.
So that's good. And you don't seem very troubled to me, but I'm a mom and a grandma.
Not anymore.
So there you go. You got a great smile. So go ahead.
And my mom met Eric here at the food bank, and because she goes there all the time. And he told her about this program, and for the longest time, I wanted to do it, but I wasn't done with high school yet, and I didn't want to get my GED, but I wanted to finish high school. So
awesome.
When I did, I finally came to this program, and I'm still in phase one, but about to go into bridge phase. But through phase one, it's really great. We come in our first week. I don't know about anyone else, because I can only speak for myself, but I was terrified. I had no idea what
really?
To wear.
Okay.
I had no idea how to act. I kind of swore a lot, but...
I love it. Okay.
This is all stuff that they teach us how to, like, wean out of our system during that first, like, week and a half. That was our grace period. And now, if we slip up, it's instant, oh, they catch us. And, but it's really great, because we get to go out into the community and do these different service learning projects. Like today, we went to volunteer at with the Tucson Parks and Recreational Department.
Awesome.
And it sounds like a lot of hard work, and it is, but it molds us. It helps us. It gives us experience that a lot of people don't have at our age. We don't have experience. And that's why another reason why employers don't hire people our age, because we don't have experience that they're looking for. And this program, it molds us, it helps us get that experience, and it turns us, you know, into young adults who have experience, so that we can say, hey, I have experience now.
And you have so much stuff to offer. I mean, you say troubled youth. My background is working with at-risk families and youth. And so to me, that's really so honest of you to say that. And then to honor that you were afraid. Like, this is one of the things I love about the show. Like, why would you be afraid? But it makes sense. Now, in terms of the work ethic, what were some of the biggest things you learned? You learned, like, you shouldn't curse. That's really a good one. I could probably enroll in that course at times. We all could have a reminder for that. Potty mouth. And then, were you good at showing up on time? Did you know how to dress? What other kinds of things? These are life skills, I call them, that someone has to teach you.
Well, the only time I was late was the first week. I was late for the second day because there was a little bit of miscommunication, and I was only 5 minutes late, but that's late.
Right.
And as soon as it happened, I talked to Eric about it, and he just said, yeah, it's 5 minutes late is late. So I learned that you have to be on time. All the time. Doesn't matter what. If you're not going to be, you need to call ahead, say, I'm going to be 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. You just have to call and let your supervisor know.
I could not agree with you more. And the the workforce is so, they need good people. I mean, everybody I talk to is looking for good employees to hire. But Eric, let's go back to you for a minute. When you said, I didn't know that the program was just a little bit over a year old or in its first year.
Yes,
what was your background to include some of these critical elements to write them into the curriculum? Lots of people overlook it. You throw them from high school into the fire of the workforce where there isn't that same type of requirement. So what was in your background to say, we have to teach this, we have to teach that, we have to expose them to this?
I spent 15 years as a high school English teacher, partly in TUSD and some charter schools. And
learned a lot there.
I learned a lot
there. That was training grounds.
Training grounds for what I do now.
Get it.
But what I did in those schools is I had a unit that I did with business writing and also interviewing skills, and I just kind of incorporated it into my English class. And it was actually really successful. The youth, the kids, it was the most popular unit that I did. And then I would usually end up with a mock interview at the end. And, you know, it turned out that hundreds of people would get involved in this thing. And so I just realized that there was a real need for it. Schools are great places. And you know, I think that most schools do a really great job. But there's a sense in schools that, you know, you could be late 25 times, or you don't have to go to class, or you can miss 9 straight days and people just welcome you back with open arms. And that's not the way it is in the world.
You get fired.
And so I started realizing that what I was doing, every time I accepted a late student or I accepted an excuse, I just realized that I was sort of setting kids up for failure. And in this particular job, I have the opportunity to say, you know what, 5 minutes late is late. In fact, we try to get them 15 minutes early. The program doesn't start till 9 o'clock in the mornings, but we always tell them to be here by 8:45. And we want to get them in the habit of being 15 minutes early.
It'll give them such a step up for the rest of their lives as far as employers go. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to ask you this too. There's a lot of work in developing the partnerships. You have to have community partners to make it work.
Yes.
So how did you incorporate that? And give us an example of some of your great community partners. You can't just do it in another incubator classroom at Goodwill.
No.
And you've gotten them out already. So within 1 year, tell us about that recruitment part.
That's the part that Beth did. She laid the groundwork for a lot of the partnerships we have now. So for example, we have the food bank, we have Tucson Parks and Rec, we have the City of South Tucson, we have Tucson Village Farm, we have Pima Animal Care Center.
You mentioned TEP.
TEP, and we also have St. Luke's Retirement Home.
Awesome.
That's a really special a service learning project for us, and I can talk more about that a little bit later. But, you know, it's just, you have to be really dogged and determined, and I'm actually the program manager now. So I've gone from the classroom over to the other side where Beth used to be. And it's pretty much a full-time job, just making phone calls and telling people your mission and what you do for youth and why the program is important. And I'll tell you, people are really great in this community. Most people want to help out. They want to be part of our program, and they want to help youth. So the skill in that is, obviously, you have to go out and be really personable, and you have to
It's a sales job.
It's a sales job, and you have
really
to be really passionate. Very passionate.
Yes.
Oh, and I forgot, we also have Gap Ministries.
I know,
as
we're
well.
Getting, I love this. I always
so
want
many.
This to be on TV. There's so many that you want to remember. So, Dennis, what have you, you've done a couple of placements. I mean, Tucson Parks and Rec. What did you have to do today? Just tell all right here on radio.
Today was actually one of our easier days. We went around with the tree loppers to cut, we call them suckers, the small growth branches off the bottom of the trees.
I even know what that is.
Yeah. Today we had to go around and cut those off of some trees at the park near Park Place. And we went around the whole park and cutting in teams of two. We went and lopped these trees. And then once we were done lopping, we actually got those trimmings and we put them in the wood chipper, and it didn't take us very long. But as I said, this is one of our easier days. Usually we are getting out there for quite a while, getting 20-pound tree trunks into the chipper, and it takes two guys to do it. And we have some big, strong dudes on our on our team here. So when I say it takes two of us, they're heavy.
We're talking about heavy-duty work, and it's so flippin' hot. Notice yes. I said flippin', because it is. It's just so hot out there. So it's and there's something about what you're saying that brings out the mom in me. You know, I have a daughter who's 25, and it's really hard to make the transition from high school to being a grown-up. I mean, there's just, even at my age, there's stuff that I don't want to do, that I have to do, and empty the wastebasket and, you know, do the dusting and whatever. There's something about the ethic of that that just... It seems to me like that you're incorporating that. Okay, now we went through phase one, mm-hmm. phase two, and then the recruitment of kids. Tell me about that part, because you want to find the right kids as well as the right placements for them. So what about that, Eric? How do you find, obviously this kid is engaged and happy to be there and you picked a really good example mm-hmm. for the show. So how do you go about the recruitment of the kids?
Well, we have a lot of partnerships. The juvenile court system helps us out quite a bit. And we have, there's so many, I can't even, Youth on Their Own.
Love them.
TUSD, I'm just starting to do a little recruiting through TUSD and dropout prevention. Any place that helps youth 18 to 21, helps them, you know, find work or helps them with housing, we have a partnership with those organizations.
I love Youth on Their Own. That's one of the, I mean, they're just, they yeah, do such great
amazing.
Things. And from my background, excuse me, in social services, it's kind of like there's services provided to kids till they're 18, and then like you're on your own. Mm-hmm. Literally,
right.
From 18 to 21, there's nothing. Just grow up and, you know, get 18, life and goodbye.
18 to 21-year-old age group is...
It's the abyss.
It's a desert. There
it
just
is.
Isn't a whole lot out there for these guys, and that's really the heart of this program. That's why it was created, and that's why the Department of Labor, which is where we have the grant through... that's why they created this, because I think, you know, the statistics are pretty miserable for this age group as far as youth who have juvenile backgrounds going in back into the prison system is pretty high. And I think the whole idea here is, you know, if we train them and educate them and help them out and support them, it's a lot cheaper for us to do that than it is for us to incarcerate.
And there's something so respectful about it's a paid internship. So
yes.
They get paid. I mean, it's great.
It's paid.
So, Dennis, what did you expect in terms of, you know, in terms of your expectations and hearing about it? How has it felt so far? And do you feel like it really was an intervention that helped?
I feel, well, first off, when I came into it, I thought, oh, we're just going to be, it's going to be so proper. And we're just gonna, it's going to be boring. And then I got there, and while it is proper and there, we are in a classroom learning, it's not boring at all. It's fun. And I think that it's been a very successful impact on my life.
Do you know how happy it makes me to just have you say it's fun? Because you can't ever take that element out of anything I ever want to do. And if you take it out for 18 to 21-year-olds, you'll absolutely lose it. I also want to go back. I don't ever really forget anything anybody says on the show. But you were determined to finish high school.
Yes.
I think that's huge. What inside of you said, this is an important step for me?
Well...
High five.
Thank you. The reason I decided to pursue my high school diploma instead of just calling it quits and getting my GED was because my entire family, they have all graduated high school, and my mom told me, it's not what you do in high school, it's what you do after, go to college and stuff like that. But I said, it's not about you. It's not about what everyone else in my family has done. It's about what I want for my life, and it's about what I want to make of myself. So I said to my friends, okay, we can't go hang out, we can't go party right now. I have to study. I have a test tomorrow.
So great.
So I'll see you at school tomorrow, but right now I have to buckle down and get to work. So that is what I did.
That's real high five. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, one of the great things about our program is that we included a partnership with Pima Community College, and we have an instructor come in 2 hours every day, Monday through Thursday, to help the youth who don't have high school diplomas. We help them get their GEDs. And the great thing about Goodwill is it's a very generous company. We have an account where any employee in Goodwill that earns a GED while employed with Goodwill, they have a $500 bonus that they get for that. So
that's a great incentive.
It's a great incentive, and we've already had a couple, two or three youth that have actually taken advantage of that.
And Pima Community College. Go ahead, Dennis.
That's the only fallback that I don't get. I can go to the class, but I can't get my GED and I can't get the 500. So I said, can I get it both? And they were like, no.
But you have your high school diploma, and that's really, that's priceless. Yeah. It's not the same as having a $500 spending spree, but that's really great.
It'd be fun, though. It would.
Maybe you can talk to the powers that be.
We'll
about
see what we can do, Dennis.
Dennis. Okay. Now, once they go into, and Dennis, back to you again, since you've been in it, and you're really young. Like, I think I'm at my age. What do I want to be when I grow up? It's still yet to be revealed. And now I'm Mrs. Green. Do you have some ideas about things you'd like to pursue and look at? Because this program obviously has you on a great path.
Well, my family has told me that I'm very musically talented. And my whole family plays some form of instrument. I have two cousins who have degrees in vocal performance, and one of them is a music teacher, and they have their degree for that. So I want to pursue a similar degree in studio and audio engineering, and possibly be a musician myself.
You might be working for Mrs. Green's World someday. Yeah. There you go.
That's
it's
where
like
we
the
brought
future
him.
Employees. It's like, oh my gosh, that excites me. And I'm barely kidding. When we're the Oprah of Green, you'll be our sound auditor or something. That's awesome. So you're interested in the technology part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's really great. All right. And then tell me about the placements within Goodwill. I want to go back to that because I have to be thinking, mm-hmm. because it really does require something from the person that's the mentor. Mm-hmm. I like to use that word. You have people in Goodwill, and sometimes, to be quite honest, having you know, like an intern or whatever is more work. I mean, it is, because you have to do your job and get it all done. And then you have to supervise this person and give them tasks. So how did you get that introduced and how successful has that been? Did they get a $500 bonus for doing it? I'm kidding.
Well, to be honest with you, the folks at Goodwill, the people that work at Goodwill live the mission. I've been working for 25 years of my life, and you know, you can work at a lot of places, and a lot of people just come in and punch a clock or whatever. And the folks at Goodwill actually do live the mission, and the mission is to help people with barriers find work. And so when we went to them and approached them on this matter, it was overwhelmingly supportive. And most people say, oh, yeah, I'll help you out because that's the mission of our company, and that's part of my job.
And that's why they work there.
That's why they work there. It's a very giving company as far as time and resources is concerned. And so it was not a really difficult, it was probably the easiest phase to develop, I think, because the people were so supportive.
And pace of the leader, pace of the team. We talked about Suzanne Lauder before
right.
we got on air, and that's the kind of person she is.
Yes.
She just gives from the heart,
right.
and then you attract people like that. So it's really, it's all good. I've right. taken tours. And what we didn't talk about, because this show is not about that, is most people think of Goodwill as a resale store. And
oh,
it's
no.
really so much more.
It's so much more.
That's how they get the resources mm-hmm. to do the myriad of programs
yes.
for disabled and
right.
you know, mentally challenged and
at risk
youth mentoring.
And ready to earn, and there's youth employment.
So many
there's,
programs.
There's many programs.
And your good partner's part of, you know, the One Stop. That's a great
yes,
program.
We're
I mean,
partnered with Pima County One Stop.
It mm-hmm. takes a lot of man hours
yes,
to make
does.
All those wheels
yes.
on the bus go round and round. I want to know about, you're going to have a recruitment phase coming up, and I want to ask both of you. So, Eric, for you, is it, are kids helping recruit other kids?
Yes.
Or how is it working in terms of the recruitment
yeah.
phase for kids?
A lot of the youth that are in the program right now have told their friends, and I think we've gotten three or four youth through that. And we give a $25 gift card to anybody who helps us recruit somebody.
So, yeah. Dennis,
incentive.
How's that working
It's a little
for you?
Incentive.
All my friends, they all just go, oh, okay, I'll check it out. And then they never do.
Okay, there's always hope. You're only in
Keep
2 months.
It.
You're only
yeah.
2 months in. Keep selling it. So that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incentivizing. People love prizes.
Sure, they do. And, you know, it's we have, I think we're at about 17 right now for October 7th. We need about 5 more people.
That's great.
And I have a couple interviews tomorrow. The process is once a youth calls me or a case manager calls me from like COPE or, you know, Providence or somewhere, then the youth has to come into our corporate offices down at 1940 East Silver Lake. And they interview with me and we ask them a series of questions and just make sure it's a good fit. And then we have them go down on a certain date. We go down to the Pima County One Stop and have them enroll through that system because it's a great partnership. If they're ever in need of services again, Pima County One Stop is a great location for that. And the other reason we have them enroll through Pima County One Stop is because there's scholarship money available up to $3,500 for the youth. And if they want to go through an educational phase instead of an employment phase with our program, we're more than happy to help them with that. We help them with the FAFSA, and we also help them with that funding. Plus, Goodwill is chipping in $1,000 for a total of $4,500 toward scholarship money to go to Pima Community College.
How great is that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's another wonderful component to it.
A lot of our youth are actually at Pima right now taking classes.
See, having been in the social service arena for most of my adult life, I didn't say grown up, but my adult life, what kind of barrier is transportation for kids? Tucson is not a really easy town to navigate if you don't have a car.
No, it's the number one barrier, I would say. I mean,
I'm with you.
It's not an ending to their opportunity because if they don't have transportation, we actually provide monthly bus passes for them so that they can get to our offices. We don't want something that small to keep them away. And there's other barriers as well. You know, there's a lot more, but bus transportation is really one of the big ones.
And you're not, I don't know where you are because we did have 4 phases and we didn't talk very much about that. You have a, I loved the expression, it was called a follow along once
the
kids are out. So talk about that a little bit. We have like 3 minutes left.
Okay,
so tell about the follow along.
Well, after the community placement, after the bridge is community placement, we put them with an employer in the community. And, you know, they spend 2 months there. And then the last 3 months is follow along. The youth, once they graduate from our program, they come in once a month to check in with our case manager, Cassie. And she just makes sure that everything is going well and they're on track. We don't want to just kick them loose and say, okay, you finished now and congratulations and here you go. We want to make sure that they're doing okay.
So 3 months is good. And then to go back a little bit, you know, reeling back, when they're in the placement phase with employers, mm-hmm. do you give support to the employers? Mm-hmm. Do they check in? Do they, mm-hmm. you let them know and there's a communication loop there?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have a career specialist, Christina, and she actually works with the employers. She does an orientation with them and she checks in on the youth once a week to make sure everything is okay.
Okay, Dennis, we have about 30 seconds. What's your final shot? I have to promo the show and give my other heartfelt thanks to Goodwill.
This program is really awesome. And if you're a youth out there, this is what you should seek out if you're troubled. I mean, it's a very good opportunity.
I love it. And how do they contact you? How do they find out?
Yeah, you can call me directly at 483-8870, 483-8870.
Area code 520.
Area code 520, yes. And that's my work cell.
And they'll find you.
They'll
find you. So I just have to say, I am so proud of you, even though I just met you, of what you're doing and how articulate you are. Eric, co-founder, great program.
Thank you for having
me. My special, special thanks to Goodwill for all they do, not just in Southern Arizona, I mean in Tucson, but in Southern Arizona. They're doing stuff in Casa Grande and mm-hmm. Sierra Vista.
Nogales.
They're growing like crazy.
Yeah.
Nogales. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a great thing. And I know that they never, ever throw anything in the landfills.
They
are shopping it out.
20
somehow.
Million pounds are kept out of the
20 million pounds. Why didn't Mrs. Green say that in the beginning? Okay, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you again to, I only said your name once, Eric Roller and Dennis Del Cid for being here from Goodwill. Next week, How Organic Is Your Farmer? Another great show. Michael McKenzie, who is operating a certified organic farm and making it work in ways you will not believe. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. You guys, thanks for being on the
show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.